This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, but not just any Roaring Elephant Podcast. This is episode 400 of the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and that means we're going to do something stupid.
Yeah, we don't just turn things up to 11 here, we turn it up to 400!
Indeed. 400. Did you ever think that we would get to 400 episodes of this rather strange, rather crazy experience?
I'm most totally certain we would get to 400 somethings. Episodes, not really.
400 words uttered and recorded, maybe?
400 tries and then giving up.
No, we definitely wouldn't have. We definitely wouldn't have tried. We'd have given up far, far earlier if it.
I remember a couple of recordings where we had to have like a couple of hundred starts before we had actually a sentence that was somehow coherent.
Oh, I don't know about a couple of hundred. I think generally
it felt like that.
Well, then that's different. That's different. Many times it feels like that, but yes, here we are. 400 episodes of the Roaring Elephant Podcast. And so we thought we would try something else.
Let me correct that. Dave thought he should try something else.
Dave suggested we should try something else. So,
and to not be honest here, the reason we're doing this is because it's our episode anniversary and we don't want to work. So we don't want to do any searching, any prep work. We just want to have some fun.
Indeed. And let's face it, the podcast, you know, we've talked about the evolution of the podcast multiple times at multiple stages of its evolution. It very much has gone from something really, you know, in the very, very early days, like very rigid, like fully scripted, to something far more organic, should we say?
I would say chaotic, but organic works.
Chaotic neutral.
It's controlled chaos. That's how I see it.
And so with that, I had an idea to embrace this organic and slightly chaotic approach to the fact that a lot of people come back not necessarily because of the content per se, but because, believe it or not, and I still struggle to believe it, they just enjoy listening to us talk, which I find very strange.
Sorry, were you talking? I wasn't listening.
Such a douchebag. See what I've got to deal with here?
It's called payback, man.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right, so what was this rather daft, rather crazy idea? Well, it started off with, as Jan said, well, what if we were to do a podcast that didn't require any prep, didn't require any real efforts, not quite
the preparatory way to put it.
Yeah. But would still satisfy those that like to hear a discussion between us and would take things in a rather random and different direction. And so the idea that I had was, what about if we just picked a random word and just started talking about it?
Yeah, and I like the idea because if we didn't do a random word, then we would do prep. If we then decide, let's have some fun about topic ABZ, we would still be doing prep. But by doing this, and we're going to pick the word live here on the episode, there is no way we can prep for this. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have to decide some rules first, right? Because Dave selected the random word generator. I've got the tab open on the screen here. For people on YouTube, you can see that. Now, when I opened the link, it immediately presented with a word. So are we going to pick that word? In which case, our audience might not trust us that it was actually a random word. We just did random words, clicks, 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 until we had one we liked. Now, I think the word in itself isn't exactly one I would have picked, because I really can't cope with this anymore. So do we remake one, or do we keep the one?
I think we do actually click the button. Okay, we can do a whole drum roll and all that sort of stuff. And,
where's the browser? Bing. So yeah, the word that came when I opened the tab was cope. So we're not going to be talking about that one.
Nope. I couldn't cope talking about that one.
Make this bigger. Do it like this. And then do it like this. Okay, we can do a number of words. That's fine. Word type. Can we fine tune the word type?
No. Just leave it as default.
Can we pick non-English?
I mean, we can if you like, but I wouldn't recommend it.
First and the last letter, syllables.
No.
Keep it like this.
Yep, leave it as defaults and hit the magic button.
So when we hit the button and a word pops up, do we have to talk about it? Do we both have to agree to talk about it? Does one of us have to agree to talk about it?
I think for this first iteration, we just have
first
to
and
talk
last.
About it. Maybe. Well, so like, here's the thing. We want feedback on this episode, on this terrible trash junk episode. If you actually like this, we may actually spin this off as a separate podcast. We may actually create this beast as a completely separate thing. So if you enjoy this kind of inane silliness of the two of us talking about a random word, please give us the feedback that you like this. Otherwise, this may be something that is seen/heard once and never ever seen/heard of again. So I just thought this was funny, frankly.
We'll see.
And it just tickled me in some strange way. So I think it's amusing, but then I'm known for having a very strange sense of humor. So this may actually be a complete flop. So let us know that as well. Like if you got this far and immediately sent, I'm sick of these people waffling on already, please find a guest and talk about something else. Let us know that as well, because, you know, if we don't get any feedback either way, we might end up doing more of this and you might end up hating us. So,
yeah, and just be sure, we are interrupting our series with Alex talking about Gen AI. It will be coming back. So the next episode will be the continuation of the interview with Alex and Zach. We're not chunking that, but just, yeah, 400 episodes. You only have the 400 episode once, right? Even if you do a second podcast series, you should never come to 400 again.
it's 100 better than 300. So, you know.
It's 200 better than 200.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
All right, then.
Yes.
Do you agree to the rules, sir?
Well, you're the master of this podcast. I'm just a lowly slave. That's all of the editing, production, you know, the hard slave work, but I have no choice but to comply, sir.
Oh dear. Go on then, hit the button. Let's see. Sure?
You want to do a drum roll?
Brrr. Column.
I kind of like the other one better.
I couldn't cope with talking about columns. All right, column.
Okay, it's very close to Gollum, so we could do a whole thing about Lord of the Rings stuff.
We could, but that is not the word. The word is column.
But it sounds like, and the things that sound alike, within the world of Gen AI, anything that sounds like something is true these days.
Okay. I went very different direction. I immediately went in either like Roman columns of the Colosseum and also columns in Excel/spreadsheet of your choice.
Let's talk half an hour about spreadsheets in Excel. That would be a sure way to make sure we never have to do this thing again.
No, do you know one of the most irritating things about columns in spreadsheets?
You have to fill them?
It's widths. It's the fact that there's a default width.
Look,
and if you alter
something... You know what this is? This is a mouse, and mouse has buttons, and columns have lines, and you can click on lines then move mouse. You have to try this one day.
Yeah. So you, let's say you do that and you change something, or you accidentally change all of them.
Yeah, and Dave doesn't like change, we know that.
Getting them back to a default width is surprisingly irritating.
Just double click.
And once they've adjusted them, it's never quite the same.
But that's what change is all about. Change is about never being the same again. Be it spreadsheets or not, change is good. Without change, how long would we have never gotten episode 400?
Maybe that would have been good for the best.
I'm starting to doubt that 400 is a bad thing, yes, but still, change is good.
So,
but is change
columns,
good?
Columns and columnar stores, are they still a thing?
Column what?
Columnar stores.
Columnar data stores, you forgot the word data there.
Yeah. Are they still a thing?
Well, yes. I mean, if you have a document, a doc store doesn't have columns, yeah. It has JSON documents, and you don't have columns there because they have no schema. Now, the fun thing is that most columnar data stores, let's call them SQL for short, have all expanded to include a NoSQL doc store, key value store, whatever, in on top of them to kind of fight the whole NoSQL thing a little bit. In my experience, it's still a lot of marketing stuff. And it works, it does its thing. Mm. But I mean, you're duplicating data, which is weird in a SQL environment, which is all about deduplicating your data. And it, again, you're pushing the onus on the developer to kind of decide which one to use. Because if you leave it up to the system itself, I find the results to be hit and miss. And to be honest, even looking at the marketing blurbs from the big SQL sellers out there, I mean, when Hadoop was a thing and NoSQL's kind of taking the world over completely, there was a lot of marketing stuff around. Yeah, but we do unstructured data too.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, unstructured data doesn't exist. Yeah, it exists, but that's not data, that's noise. It's semi-structured, I can live with, but unstructured data, that means it has no structure and it cannot have structure, so forget it. Semi-structured means there is a structure there, but it's not apparent yet, but you can kind of mold it to a structure. And even NoSQL things need structure. JSON objects are structures. And I totally lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, since the Hadoop thing, it doesn't really come up anymore in the whole marketing blurbs.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with this. Like, you just don't hear people talking about columnar data stores anymore. So much so that I'd forgotten the word data in the word name thing.
Yeah. Blame the columns. Poor column on your blame your bad memory on the poor word column. Come on.
Yeah. Essential for holding up large bits of stone.
And not just that, but you do have that cartoon with the big thing on the top, big enterprise solution, and then you go down, down, down. At the bottom, there's like a little thingy, one project being maintained by one underpaid developer that kind of, you take it off, the whole thing crumbles down. That's a big column. It's small in design, but it's big in importance.
Right. House of cards, that kind of thing.
I pulled from the word column into the whole developer should be recognized and get some payment for their work. That's a feat, okay?
House of cards aren't columns. Is each individual card a column?
No, but this was actually not a house of cards. It was a nicely built thing, but with one etched out little, you know the one. Let's see if I can find it.
I know the thing you're talking about.
And you have to. I have to search something now. You have to talk.
So, I have been lucky enough to go and see the Colosseum in person, and I was very impressed at the state of the stonework after so many hundreds and hundreds of years. And just, it is still to this day an incredibly impressive, there we go, XKCD dependencies.
Column.
Yeah, it is still a very, very impressive structure. If you've never seen it before, I would recommend you can see what I would call the highlights of Rome within probably a few days. my personal perspective, and I would then get out of Rome and go and explore other parts of Italy. But the Colosseum, all those columns, very impressive.
Doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And there's no columns. There's no columns. Look at this. This is a Lego representation, so the most true to nature you can ever get. No columns.
Oh, dear. All right. I think we should move on. Hit the button, man.
No. We have to do an entire episode on one word. Come on.
No, that wasn't the rule.
But there's only so many words in the language.
At no point was that stated that it would be the rule.
Ah, dang, he got me on a technicality again. I really finished talking about columns. We haven't even talked about blockchain yet. That's more of a row, isn't it? That's not a...
Exactly. It's a chain, not a column. It's not called block column, you know.
True, but if I go back here, these are block columns. If there were columns, which they are not. People, you really need to have YouTube for this. Without the YouTube.
And people, it's really not worth it.
Okay, I need a drum roll and a better one than the last one.
Okay, insert drum roll here. Oh, dear. Please.
Please let me get out of this.
So please and thank you. Two very, very underrated words.
I read a joke last week. What's the most used language in programming?
Most used programming. I don't know.
Profanity.
So here's a question for you.
I like that. Sorry.
Do you use please at the start or the end?
Depends. If I make a sentence where I'm going to ask you for something or to do something, I'll probably start with please. While if it's more of a... you've done something and I want to express that I'm pleased with it, I put it at the end. I don't know. I mean, how would you do this? So, would you build me this program, please? Would you please build me this program? No, put it at the front.
Please could you build me this program? Or please could you respond to this message? Could you respond to this message, please?
Word please, I put at the back, me. Said Yoga. Never.
God. I don't know what the quote-unquote correct way to do it is, but it does seem pretty interchangeable to me.
Yeah, it's not like a split infinitive, things like that. You can put it wherever you want, as long as the sentence makes sense. But, I mean, the whole idea of please is begging for something, is being a supplicant. And, well, if you're going to be begging for something, just make sure the person knows you're begging from the start. That way they go into the right mindset, so put it at the front.
I don't think this is politeness.
Please.
However.
Politeness means I tell you to do something without hitting you.
Now that I am used to with Jon. That is very much his MO.
Yeah, across the English channel. Ping. Let's see if it works. Exactly. Right, you did that way.
So I think the use of the word please is also getting lost in like more of the communication. I think we are starting to lose the sort of politeness of communication that happens more often verbally and face to face and is far less used in text communication, things like Slack or, you know, just messaging systems in a whole. Like the people type their demands out or their requests, should we say, if we put them a little bit more politely. Very few times do people say please or thank you unless something is then actually done. In that case, maybe, you know, maybe you'll get a thank you or an emoji thank you or a GIF reaction thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give you a compliment, which is earth-shaking in itself, but don't worry, I'm going to make it an insult immediately afterwards.
Excellent.
So I think it's a cultural thing. British culture is very polite. I mean, when I talk to an English person, I used to have a manager in England, it takes ages for them to actually say if I did something right or wrong, because they're very careful and things like that. This is still the compliment part. Me, I live in the Netherlands. Over here, it's very direct, and you won't say please if something is to be expected. Can you pass me the salt? I'm not going to say please, because you're never going to say no. It's a cultural thing. Now, the reason, and here the insult comes, the reason I think that some cultures have much more polite language, English, French has that also a little bit, and the Americans can really go away with that stuff, is because they're used to lying. I have insulted half the world right now. I know, I'm sorry, whatever. But it's just politicians use a lot of words like thank you and please. And that's, I think, a reason why it's being used less by the younger generations, because it has lost its truthfulness. It doesn't have the same connotations anymore. When I was little, and of course I aged also, so I have changed, might be both, but when I was small and somebody said please to me as a kid, I felt good, because me a kid, you know, the little person on the world, you were nothing, somebody said please to you, they really appreciated you for something, they asked you. That had some real big connotations there. That was, they said please, like say, they said sir to me, things like that. These days, because politicians and Brits have been abusing those politeness words to kind of make what they say sound like it's nice, but it really isn't. And if you want some examples of that, Yes Minister is still a brilliant series to watch if you haven't got seen that one. Old BBC series, it's not black and white, it's colored, but still it's very old but lovely. And yeah, for that reason the younger generations don't use those words anymore, because they have lost the actual meaning that they were supposed to contain. So it was a compliment into an insult, into somewhat of rationalization, into a somewhat coherent point. Please.
Vaguely coherent. I don't know whether I agree with that or don't agree with it. I can definitely see some of that. It makes me sad if that is truly the case.
True.
I can only speak for myself. I do notice myself I make an active effort to ask and say please for things, and to thank people when they do things, or even just, you know, thank you for listening. But I do find when the medium that I'm making the request on is, you know, something like Slack or whatever it might be, it might not be my default, and I may, before I send it, go, oh no, I better actually ask this.
You're a manager, right?
even amongst peers, even like other stuff, like, it's just, I think it's a shame that we're losing some of this. But by the way, if you are interested in this kind of cultural differences in communication, there's an absolutely excellent book. I can't remember the author's name, but the book is called The Culture Map. It is truly, truly an excellent book. If you're interested in communication between different cultures, different languages, that's the one. It is an excellent masterclass in understanding different cultures and communication between them. Erin Meyer, that's it. Erin presented at one of our kind of company-wide global kickoffs a couple of years ago, and she herself is also an incredibly interesting author. But yeah, it's a great, great book. I would really recommend it if you're in a globally distributed organization and you talk to lots of different people from lots of different parts of the world. And occasionally maybe you have a few interesting conversations that, you know, don't exactly go the way that you thought they might go, this might really help.
Yeah, because I can attest that a lot of, in global companies, a lot of the anger and hate relationships that develop are actually just a byproduct of not understanding cultural connotations of certain things, of certain mannerisms, certain ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And that is an increasing problem. And it's not a problem that's going to go away, because on the one hand, I would say, let's get rid of all the different cultures, let's homogenize and make it easier for everybody. That would make my life easier. On the other hand, which culture will you pick?
Mm.
And that's the problem, right? There is no culture that's better than another culture. I mean, a lot of cultures are better than other cultures, I guess. Cannibalism was a culture. Let's not go there. But yeah, that's a problem. If you have to choose just one, which one do you choose? And whether you say please or not, that's not going to change the problem.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, we're up at 25 minutes of this ridiculous silliness.
No, because we procrastinated for 2 minutes, of course, before we started recording, remember?
No. This is excluding that. Do you want to do one more?
How are you in time? Because you're kind of at the end of our recording slot here.
I can probably do one more for another 5-10 minutes max.
Well, in that case, your turn for the drum roll. Okay, you have a very good noise cancelling microphone. We didn't hear anything of that.
Oh dear.
Doesn't matter. Ta-da!
Address.
Well, this is our 400th address. We will no longer call these things podcast episodes. They are now addresses to the community.
So the word address to me immediately means like my physical postal address.
Oh, that's 127001, right?
There's no place like home.
No, there's no place like 127001.
Well,
postal addresses. Do you still send mail? I haven't seen a postal box in years.
I certainly receive mail, mainly parcels from Amazon.
That's parcels. Okay, parcels, packages, that's something else. That's something you can, that's physical goods that have to move somewhere. But for me, postal is more messaging. From Telegram to pigeons to postal letters, that's for me postal. Packages is not, that's delivery, that's not post. I know.
What?
Packages are delivery of physical goods.
And they are posted.
Yes, but in the olden days, you had the Pony Express to put in the packages, and you had the postman from the movie from Kevin Costner that did the manuscripts document thingy. So that's two totally different things. This episode didn't have to make sense.
Jon is stuck in cowboy era, unfortunately. The Netherlands best never really evolved much past the kind of the Wild West. So that's why he's stuck with telegrams and the Pony Express. Right. Got it.
We get no physical letters here in the Netherlands anymore. Anything that's from the government. Typically, the mail you get is from the government, because that's usually the last bastion of changing things. And in the Netherlands, everything here is now digital. From taxes to whatever, it's all, you have the message box and they're all there. So, and I put myself on the I don't want any spam whatever pamphlets, shop whatever thingies. I know what I need when my fridge is empty. I'm a grown-up person. I can actually go to a shop and decide for myself what I need. And it's not because the toilet paper is cheaper today that I need to buy toilet paper, because I still have to, and so on. I actually get two things in the mail, and that's two magazines, actually, which I got because I'm in my insurance company. It's kind of the AAA kind of thing, which is more of an organization that I still send four times a year, a kind of a magazine, which I look at and then,
recycle.
Thanks. And the other one is for the homeowners thingy. It has also have a magazine thingy, but that's about it, actually. And actually, the fun thing is, because that's all I get, I'm kind of happy when I get them. I do read them.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're pretty similar in that sense. Like we probably get more posts than that, but not much. There's very little, like we still occasionally get random bits of post from previous owners of the property, which is always a little bit strange because you never know what those things might be. But yeah, it is mostly packages these days.
Yeah. And another reason why packages aren't post, as far as I'm not sure about this, but I think a letter has a secrecy thing imprinted on it. Post people are not allowed to open letters to look what's inside because there is something called postgeheim. I have no idea what the English word for that is, post secrecy. In packages, customs opens my packages all the time. Even I'm not buying bombs and stuff.
I don't know whether, if you post something internationally, though, that customs could still open it. I think they could.
Not sure. I'm not sure. But there is a concept of postal secrecy, but that's specifically for letters, as far as I know. For the ideas, the messaging.
I don't know. Any other addresses that you regularly use? I mean, website addresses is kind of a common one, but...
That's actually a good topic, because website URLs, if Google has its way, are going direct to Dodo.
Really?
Yeah, they wanted to remove the URL bar in browsers a long time ago. You just open up your browser, it ends up on Google search, and you type your search, and that's how you find where you want to go. I obviously think that's horrible. That would be, I mean, welcome dark web at that point. I mean, URLs for me are still the most effective way of making sure I'm not being phished. That I end up at the place I'm at. And I'm not talking about little SSL certificate padlock, which Google has removed because they wanted to move the whole URL thing. They made it harder to see if URLs were correct or not. Also reason why, for my own personal things, I never use Chrome. But... No, I mean, looking at URL is still one of the few ways you can actually be kind of certain that it works. That with a couple of the password manager, because that's the other thing I do. If I have to log in somewhere, I never type in my username and password. I use my password manager, which has the link in there. So if I'm on a phishing site, it says, I have no password for this thing. Oh, hang on.
Yeah,
that's a very good one. I do use a password manager that does not store its password in the cloud. It's one that stores things locally on my own little server here. So that's, of course, also important.
Yeah, I use and have done for many, 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 many years.
Yes, you're old.
Firefox. Back since and before that, I used Netscape. I've been on that train for a very long time, and they still do have the padlock. They still do have the shield, so you can still see if things are awry or not.
Yeah, but the fun thing is that Chromium actually still has the padlock. Because the browser I use to show stuff here, which is one I never use anything else, so it doesn't have any CRAIP on there.
Whatever.
It still has the padlock. It still does its thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. I clicked the wrong thing, of course. That's all I click. That's nice. The little drop-up doesn't show up on OBS.
Yeah. Same as the when you clicked on the drop down for the words that doesn't show either.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, doesn't show.
Oh well.
I'm guessing because it pops up as a layer over the top of the browser.
Should make a difference. Doesn't this is not an OBS debugging session. Let's not go there.
Well, nothing else for me on address. Anything else from you?
As my phone just did a bleep, I forgot to mute it apparently, but it's 400 episodes, so I'm entitled to miss it once.
Yeah, same here.
I think it's time for our outro address.
I think it is. Well, before we do that, one quick thing. Did you enjoy this? Did you hate this? Let us know.
Asking me?
No, definitely not. Aww. I don't care. I don't care whether you like it or hate it.
You heard it. Talking to our audience. He doesn't care. He just doesn't care.
I don't. I really don't. If our audience love it and you hate it, we're doing more.
And if I love it and others hate it, now we should do it then. And if we both love it?
And our audience hate it.
Would you actually give our audience something they like, even if it's something that I like? Would that be two? Yeah, okay, thank you.
I would. But, yeah, so a plea to our audience. Please give us feedback on episode 400. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Was it vaguely entertaining? Would you like more of it?
Send mail to podcast@roaringelephant.org, please.
Indeed, indeed.
I put the address and please, I just couldn't get the column in there. So we're asking for columns, please. No, we're not.
Although, I mean, first of all, they're really heavy, so how would you post them to us?
Precursor of podcast is the written article which had columns.
Indeed. Indeed.
And that really is all the time we have for today. Otherwise, we'll never stop this. You can support this podcast if you still see us having any reason of being after this. You can become patrons. Patrons will help us keep this up in the air. And if you get more patrons, you might do other things as well. Who knows? We're on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, and view us doing crazy stuff like this. And you can go to our website at www.roaringelephant.org. There's links there to all the patrons and YouTubes and other stuff we do. And with that, I'm going to finish up saying that until next time, my name is Colm Narjon.
And my name is Polite Dave.
I look forward to talk to you again next week. Please.
We'll see you then. Thank you.